It's not just being in Northwest Arkansas. It's not just coaching in Fayetteville. It's a statewide thing, and it's unlike anything that I've ever experienced. The one thing that is just so unique is anywhere you go in the state of Arkansas, that hog, the logo, the brand is so, so powerful. And basketball-wise, the passion for that hog logo is just so powerful and so much different than anywhere that I've ever experienced.
This is Coach Monk, and you're listening to The Morning Rush.
Eric Musselman and Michael Musselman now joining us on The Morning Rush. Guys, good morning. Thanks for making some time for us.
No, we appreciate joining you guys.
So if we roll the ball out right now in Bud Walton Arena between you two, who's winning that one-on-one matchup?
100% Michael Musselman. No questions asked. I can't disagree. I think maybe 10th grade was the last one-on-one game. He beat me. And once he beat me, then it was over. We didn't play again. I just became an automatic rebounder.
I was hoping there was like a weekly game that you guys would go against each other in.
We had that going about 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, but it stopped right about that sophomore year of high school.
What does Father's Day weekend look like in the Musselman household?
I mean, we'll probably end up talking about recruiting in our depth chart. hopefully this weekend, you know, not only will we be talking about our depth chart and recruiting board, but maybe we can get out on Beaver Lake and go for a little boat ride and enjoy some sunshine.
You're the son of a coach now. You're the father of coaches that are on your staff. And what was it like growing up in a basketball household where you didn't know any different but going to games and being around a dad who was a coach? What was that like for you growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really true, too, is for me, when I would come down to the breakfast table, I know most kids' cartoons are on, and for me, it was game tape. And, you know, my dad used to, even in the middle of the summer, you know, we used to circle Major League Baseball box scores, and it was normal for me to go to school and then have my mom drop me off at practice and for me to hang out with my dad and watch practice and dribble on the sideline and then go up to his office and watch game film after practice and get home, have dinner, and start the whole thing over the next day. And I'll let Michael kind of answer. Maybe he's got a different version than what I grew up with.
Michael, you can tell Dad not to listen while you answer here, but what's it like working for Dad? How do y'all separate those two roles?
This is my second year now under his leadership, I guess you could say, and he does a really good job of separating work and, you know, family life. You know, when I go over to his house, we'll talk a little bit about recruiting or, you know, this, that, and the other in terms of work, but it really is family time. Go to dinner, go to lunch every day, and that's just regular family talk and personal stuff, all the stuff like that. And then in the office, it's just down to business like usual.
Talking with Eric and Michael Musselman here on The Morning Rush. Michael, question again at you. When it comes to some of these different video ideas, when it comes to just relating to players, you're 23, 24, so you have a better grasp of just everything going on. How much does your dad ask you questions when it comes to relating to high school athletes?
Not only me, but you know, everyone on the support staff who's under 30, we're kind of all just good sounding boards when it comes to ideas. And you know, he brings a lot of ideas to the table and kind of taking his ideas and morph them into, a little bit of a younger audience and, just kind of bringing stuff to the table, stuff that we see on social media and stuff that we see going on in the world from our perspective. Just being able to spin the ideas, you know, so that they can relate to the fans, to recruits, families, and reach out and touch a little bit of everybody.
So how much convincing do you have to do on your ideas? Because Ty is 25 and I'm 44, and he'll have to convince me that I'm too old to be thinking about the right idea on certain things. How much arm twisting and convincing on some of these social media ideas do you have to do with Dad there?
It's pretty funny because I think the arm twisting goes a little bit of both ways. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, he is my dad, so if he wants to put out a silly or goofy idea that, you know, I may want to nix it, but he's got a pretty good feel for what people think is funny. And, you know, I think there's just a little bit that goes both ways, and we're able to settle on a pretty happy medium when we finalize it.
And, Coach, how resistant are you to some of those ideas at times?
I enjoy sharing behind the scenes or pulling back the curtain for our fans and our boosters and alumni and fan base. And we have a little think tank every day where support staff and I sit around and we throw ideas. And I know that we've put a lot of videos that are funny out on social media, but we have a pretty good library of stuff that never gets put out that we have fun as a staff that we'll put in our little group text threads at different times. But we're just trying to do things a little bit different and do things that recruits and their parents might like. And certainly the younger guys on staff have a lot of good ideas. And, you know, I think we have a really good blend, kind of a diverse thinking in our office, which I think is really, really important as we try to, like, put out a story of who we really are.
Speaking with Eric Musselman and Michael Musselman here on The Morning Rush. Coach, you bring up your staff. You have an assistant coach opening right now. What are you looking for in that opening?
Number one, just want to have patience. I mean, we're kind of in a unique time frame right now where we're not allowed to work with our guys. You know, we have guys that are in town that are doing volunteer weightlifting, but gym lights have been off for 3 months. And so from a recruiting standpoint, you know, I think that the group that we have in here right now has done as good a job as anybody in the entire country doing virtual presentations or virtual tours, whatever you'd like to call them. And so that aspect, we're not in a rush or a hurry. Anthony Ruta has filled that role for us at Nevada. And so we feel like we have a guy on staff that understands what an assistant coach would need to do right now, meaning putting together our playbook, putting together defensive and offensive schemes, breaking down film of NBA teams, because we are trying to change our offensive a little bit. We're trying to mirror a little bit of what the Milwaukee Bucks have done. So we've really been trying to study how they utilize their spacing and their personnel. And so we're in no rush, but certainly want to try to find the right fit to blend in with myself and Coach Corey Williams and Coach Clay Mosier as well.
So, Coach, you bring up Anthony Ruta. I know that's one of the guys that has been rumored for possibly taking over that position. You mentioned that time and time again, giving him praise that he's so good at putting together a schedule. Now it seems like you're giving him other praises for stuff that the typical assistant coach would do. Is he a candidate for that job?
I'd like to try just keep the candidates kind of with me and the people that we've talked to, because certainly this time of year you're probably talking to people that currently have a job. But certainly any time that we have an opening, Coach Ruta will always be under consideration because he's a grinder and works really hard. And, you know, there's other people in the business that maybe I've worked with in the past or maybe other guys that have been on our staff. And you know, what you do when you have an opening is you kind of lay out all the different categories. You know, you basically start with, you know, staff chemistry and then who can connect with the recruit, who can connect with the recruit's parents, who's going to be good on an unofficial visit, who's good on an official visit, what type of talent evaluator is a coach, how is that coach in individual skill development, how is that coach put in plays, does he understand how to put in an entire five-man offensive or defensive concept, what is a coach like from a scouting standpoint, one, the paperwork of the scouting report, and then two, how does he convey the scouting report on film? How does he convey the scouting report out on the floor? So there's a lot of different factors that go into what you would be looking for. And then how does an assistant coach kind of mentor and be a father figure for our players and try to help lead that particular student athlete off the floor as well?
Let's talk about your roster. There's obviously been news with Reggie Chaney getting to the transfer portal. What can you tell us about where you're kind of at personnel-wise?
From a personnel standpoint, I think what you do with any team is you try to identify your strengths. Then you try to look for areas that you would like to improve. And certainly size was a big, you know, factor in what we wanted to improve this offseason. And, you know, Jalen Tate walked in the other day, you know, to the building to take his physical, and he's listed at 6'6", and he might be the only player that I've ever coached that's actually taller than what he's listed at. And, you know, Vance Jackson gives us size at 6'10", and Justin Smith gives us great versatility, incredible athleticism. So those three new guys, grad transfers of late, you know, we don't have to worry about a waiver with the NCAA. Is a guy going to play or have to sit? Those three guys have all graduated from an academic standpoint. And then you talk about the four freshmen. They all bring something different to the table. You know, obviously KK can be a change of speed point guard for us, and Moses Moody with his versatility playing the two and the three and having such great shooting ability, and we think he can be an excellent defender. And Jalen Williams at his size, being able to shoot the ball, he's an excellent passer. And then Devo Davis's ability to create off the bounce and his creativity. So we're excited with all the new guys, but we do have our work cut out for us just because we've lost a whole segment that we normally would be together with our guys.
So how does your formula or your philosophy of having four guys that are redshirting or in a transfer year, how does that work next year? Because it seems like that formula isn't quite as easy as it was last year for you.
That's a great question. I mean, we certainly are going to have much more competitive practices. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, last year, Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe and Desi and, you know, Jimmy Witt and Adriel Bailey, like all those guys knew they were going to play, you know, 30-plus minutes or 25-plus minutes because, you know, we only had seven- or eight-man rotation. And now we're much deeper. That was one of our areas of concern last year is we didn't have enough depth. But you've got to really look at the landscape of your sport. And it was our belief all along that people were not going to be immediately eligible if they transferred, like many people thought was going to happen. And now people are in the process of trying to get waivers. So we knew the grad transfers were going to be part of this recruiting class. Next year, that changes. I mean, the whole landscape could possibly change if you're allowed to do a one-time transfer without sitting out. So we understand and have a plan with that. But, you know, look, I mean, we have a full 13-man roster where everybody's eligible to play. So you're going to have some really competitive practices, and I think that's good. And I think we're not going to be able to play everybody. I mean, you just don't have enough minutes. You know, you got 40 minutes at the point guard spot, 40 minutes at the off guard, 40 at the three spot, 40 minutes at the power forward spot, 40 minutes at the five spot, and you got to divide up those minutes the best you possibly can with the thought process of how do you win that game on any particular night.
Michael, back to you, since we are 2 days away from Father's Day, what would you say is the best part of having your dad as a father outside of basketball?
Growing up, for sure, it was just being involved in sports. In a few years, he took off from coaching, and he stepped away a little bit from the professional side of things, coached my brother and I and coached our basketball teams, and that was really special, you know, to just be able to go to the AAU tournament, hang out with him. You know, we were together all the time, going to practices every day after school, and spending those years together were awesome. And then, you know, he shows his true personality on social media and when he's around, you know, fans and everything, and that's really how he is, you know, off the court and away from the game too. So just having him as a great role model, always pushing, you know, my brother and my sister and I to do better and to do everything that we can. And, you know, especially with his motor, like he's just a high motor guy. So when your dad's, you know, running around more than you, you know, you got something to strive for.
Now, I know your dad's talking about surfing before outside of Cali. Did you guys this past weekend at Beaver Lake, did you get a chance to get up on a tube, a wakeboard, any water sports this past weekend?
You know, we didn't do much tubing, no water sports this weekend. To be quite honest, we're more of ocean guys. We're more we'll do the surfing and that sort of thing in the ocean. When it comes to lakes, we were kind of raised in California, so we spent more time around the saltwater. But no wakeboarding yet. We can do it, but we just haven't broken the wakeboards in on Beaver Lake yet.
As y'all have gotten more familiar with some of the beauty of the natural state, some of our best-kept secrets here, what's some of your favorite things you found around the state as a family so far?
Probably going to have to say the hiking. The hiking and the bike riding is probably by far the two best outdoorsy things we've done since we've been here in the past year.
The bike paths are insane, man. We love them.
Outside of nature, Michael, I saw you one time at JJ. So when you're going out to Dixon Street, man, what is your favorite bar to go out to?
I got to say, nothing beats a 21st Amendment rooftop.
Good call. Well, guys, we really appreciate you making some time for us this morning. Coach Eric Musselman and Coach Michael Musselman.
Happy Father's Day, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate you guys giving us some time on the Morning Rush. We'll do it again sometime. Thanks, guys.